Good to see you out tonight. My name's Dave Spurgeon. If you didn't pick up on that already, weren't here this morning or something like that. And I come here from Dayton, Ohio, and it is a privilege to be here. And I just want to thank you for coming. And Psalm 85, you know, it's a good thing to pray. We're going to talk about prayer a little bit, but before I read the text tonight, recall a little anecdote, if you will, about an evangelist praying for the meeting that he was getting ready to preach and wanting to be used of God and felt like he'd prepared and was communing with the Lord. He just, you know, took the opportunity to, you know, talk to God about some other things. And he asked God this. He said, God, what's a million years like to you? What's a million years like to you? And I understand the Bible says 1,000 years. I understand that. So, but God answered him, and he said, a million years is like a minute. And so the evangelist kept on praying. He said, God, what's $1 million like to you? And God answered him, and he said, like a penny. And so the evangelist decided to go for it. He said, God, would you give me $1 million? And God answered him and said, in a minute. Amen. I'm not telling you who the evangelist was, but anyway. Amen. Psalm 85 tonight, and verse number 6. The Word of God says this right here. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Father, we do come to you in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And Father, we just pray and ask God that all that's said and done be acceptable in your sight, glorifying to your Son. Thank you for those that have come out tonight in a day and age where even Christians are often too busy to come to church. And Father, Lord God, we just pray and ask that you manifest yourself in a specific and personal way in the lives of everyone in here tonight. To the degree that it would be true to be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And Lord God, we know that if that's even remotely possible, it's because you saw fit to visit with us. We pray you'd feel welcome. God, I pray that maybe your spirit would bear witness to some things tonight and cause us to get some things settled in our life that we might leave closer to you than when we came. And that's certainly our desire for this week, but it doesn't have to take a week. It can truly go on every single night. We pray that be the case. Amen. Lord, if there's a remote possibility someone here is not saved, I pray that you make that real clear to them, that they need to get that thing settled and that you went the distance to make it possible to be settled. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And now meet with us, I pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? One of the definitions to the word revival is this right here. And for our purposes, of course, an awakening. An awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. Amen. I mean, you can revive a person with those things they use to shock you. You can revive a person with CPR. That's not the kind of revival that we're talking about. It's not the kind of revival that the psalmist is talking about either. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? What you see right there is that it is scriptural to desire what we're trying to see accomplished in the lives of God's people this week. It's not just religious phraseology. It's scriptural to desire revival. It's scriptural to pray for revival. Amen. And so I hope that's what you'll be doing. I roll in a big old motorhome. It's not that big. I did not bring a revival with me. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to take everybody in here. We're going to preach on that tonight. Amen. For a little while. And the title would be this right here. Revive us again. That's what the psalmist asked. And so we're just going to get, Lord willing, five things out of that verse. Five things about revival right there out of verse 6. Number one. You're going to find there, right there, you're going to find the source. The source of revival. Here's what it says. Wilt thou. Amen. Wilt thou. David's talk, I believe it's David, it may not be, but the psalmist, the writer, is sure enough, is talking to God. And now, here we are at church tonight, and as a church, you got some responsibilities. I mean, we're talking about setting the stage for revival. You do what you can do. You appoint a date. We set this date a year ago. And you're going to have a revival meeting at your church. Then you appoint a preacher. You schedule. It is a privilege. It's an honor to be the appointed preacher this week. And you do what you can do. You hand out flyers. I heard talking about handing out flyers. You do that. That's what you do. You do what you can do. Here's a remote. I mean, a novel concept perhaps in our day and age, maybe even like Fast or something like that. I know that. Yeah, that's not real popular anymore, but I seem to be able to find it in my Bible. But listen, hey, you want God to do something here this week? Listen, we can't compete with the charismatics. We can't compete with television. It's hard to hold a person's attention for a good hour, let alone a week. But revival's possible, and it's scriptural to desire, and it's scriptural to pray for. But I got news for you. You can do everything you can do. Well, even as far as this goes right here, listen. There's not, you can be a member of this church and we can appoint these days and preach every night and sing every night and fellowship every night, and just because your name is on the roll, if you're not here, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss out on something. Say what he's saying, Russ Spurgeon. Listen, for the Lord to be able to minister to your heart and deal with your heart, you're going to have to be here. Now listen, we understand that there's, I think we call it providentially hindered. Maybe if we break it down like this. Maybe if you're sick, amen. Maybe if you're at work, and we understand those kind of things. But I'll tell you what I've noticed in just the years that I've been preaching. The list of excuses not to be in church during revival compared to the list of real reasons, amen, there's no comparison. We're creative, man. People come up, and listen, I read a thing years and years ago. A lady wrote a letter to the aspirin company. Said, could you please invent an aspirin that works on Sunday? Amen. Let nobody stays home, amen, from work because of a headache. Amen. I tell you, I don't get this, but I've heard, do they play golf in Texas? Do people play? Surely not. Amen. But listen, people that have their tea time, not like England, tea time schedule, they're going to, man, oh, I got a headache. Oh, well, you know, you make it. But boy, I'll tell you what, it don't take much of a headache to keep them out of church. Yeah, amen. Okay, the altar is open. We're going to, at any time during the course of the night, feel free. Amen. But, amen. I told a church one time, I'll tell you, listen, there's a time, let me see, 20 years ago when I started going to church, 22 years ago, when our church was having a meeting, there was a real effort and emphasis put on inviting people. Amen. Inviting people. And say, well, I got friends, but they won't come. They came once. They don't like my preacher. My preacher says, tell them there's another preacher preaching. They don't have to worry about not liking me. Tell them to come. Some of your friends that go to other churches. Amen. We're not stealing sheep. Tell them to come on a night that doesn't conflict. I'll tell you what. You give people 8 days, it takes away a lot of excuses. Use the evidence. I'm going to tell you what I see this day and age going around country preaching somewhere every week. Pastor just hoping a majority of their own folks will come. I told the church one time, I said, listen, I'll make you a deal. If you try your best to come every possible night you can, so will I. And you know what somebody said? You have to be here. Your name's on the flyer. You had to come. I got the flyer. I looked at it. It said, Evangelist Dave Spurgeon. Then it had the name of the church. I said, your name's on the flyer too. What a thing it is when people invite people to church. I've been in churches and had people come in. It's obvious they're strangers. Obvious they've never been there before. They're standing at the door. They're looking around. Amen. I don't know if they've ever been in church, but I can tell they're looking for somebody. And what an odd thing it is when the usher or whoever goes over to greet them and they whisper. And truth of the matter is, they're looking for the person that invited them. And the person that invited them didn't even come. Well, it's going to be a little rough to get revival if you don't come. Amen? Amen. Now, here's what we're big on these days, and you guys record these things. Amen? And say we make CDs. They don't do tapes anymore, I don't think. I don't know. But they make CDs. And then, well, the problem with that is people are just, well, I don't feel like going tonight. I'll just get the CD. I went to a church one time, and I said this. If you're counting on getting your spirit fed from a preaching a message over a CD when you could have been there and you should have been there, I pray the Lord just not bless the CD. Now listen, if that's all you can do because of some reason, then praise the Lord for that kind of thing. But it's not an excuse to stay home.
Amen.
I go to churches and they live stream. I don't even want to know what all that means. But listen, I'll tell you what, if everybody keeps putting all my preaching on the internet, I'm going to have to come up with a lot more messages. I say, don't put it on the internet. I'm going to use that again. Amen. We're talking about getting something from God. We're talking about being in the fellowship of God's people. We're talking about being under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. He said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And it probably makes sense to try to be here. And not just be here, bring your family.
Amen.
Bring your family. Amen. This isn't a thing where you flip a coin at supper time to see who you're going to represent, what representative you're going to send to the meeting. Say, why are you saying these things? Because I've seen all these things. Okay, the flipping the coin thing I made up, but I'm an evangelist. We're allowed to do that. It's in the evangelist handbook somebody needs to write. Amen. But listen, bring visitors. Bring visitors. I tell you what. Bring your Bible.
Amen.
Bring your Bible. And when this preacher or any other preacher starts telling you stuff that doesn't line up with that book, then that big old shepherd's hook needs to come out from behind the curtain. I got to keep an eye on everybody these days. And just pull them right out of here, man. Because we're interested in what God has to say. Amen. That works for me. Listen, I try to show you, but something would probably go wrong. But my wife, I have a smartphone. I have a smartphone. Now I have a phone and a wife smarter than me. But I tell you what I can do. They sent me a picture. They sent me a picture. I can prove it later. Of my wife holding this 5-pound baby that came home from the hospital today. They sent me a picture, a 5-pound baby in a car seat looks like a loaf of bread or something. It's that sounds weird. It really small and but then at 6 o'clock, it was 5 o'clock here, at 6 o'clock I got another picture and my wife is holding this baby. Sitting in our row at church. This baby, the week old, came home from the hospital this morning. In church tonight. This big. Amen. That's a good idea. That kid's got a shot. Amen. Amen. Listen. Those are the things that we can do, that we need to do.
Amen.
But let's get real clear on one thing here. David said this, wilt thou not revive? The source for revival is God. And only God. And God forbid any preacher get the idea in his head that he's got the market cornered. God forbid any evangelist advertise, hey, you can have revival at your church, call this number, send me an expense check. That's hogwash. It's blasphemy is what it is. Amen? Only God. Boy, we can do what we can do. We can have a revival meeting. And we can schedule. But if there's going to be any revival, it's going to have to come from the Lord. And I'll say it again, like I said this morning. That's not as complicated as it sounds, because God's not the one that's playing hard to get. I mean, He wants to meet with us, but just to be clear, the source for revival is Him. You hear me?
Amen.
All right, how about this? How about the strategy? There's a strategy for revival. It's real deep. It's real complicated. The psalmist says this, "Wilt thou not revive us?" What's he doing? He's talking to God. He's praying. He's asking the Lord to send revival. The strategy for revival is prayer. Let me tell you something, though, tonight. And we encourage prayer, but I got to tell you something. If you're going to get a prayer through, amen, you're going to have to make sure, amen, that you're on praying ground. David understood that. And in Psalm 139, he said in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Not everybody else. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Listen, if you're going to be able to go to God in prayer to ask Him to send revival to you, to your family, to your church, to your community, listen, you're going to have to search your own heart first and determine whether there's anything there that might hinder that prayer from getting through. Because if you don't, it's just a bunch of religion.
Amen. All right.
That's not the formula. Amen. And David wanted God so badly that I believe that he went to God here and said, "God, search me," because he didn't want to be guilty of missing anything. I know a lot of Christians. I'm talking about, I know some good brothers and sisters. They won't pray that prayer. They won't ask God to search them. Why? Well, because they already know there's things in their life. Things that maybe they got out years ago, but they've let back in. Here's how that happens.
Amen.
Well, compared to so-and-so, it's not that big a deal.
Right. Amen.
Well, compared to so-and-so, it might not be that big a deal. Problem is, nobody's going to be compared to so-and-so.
Amen.
The Bible says so, then every one of us shall give an account of himself.
Amen.
Man, we got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We got a personal salvation. We got a personal accountability.
Amen.
And amen. Boy, I tell you what, man, I want to be right with God. I want to be on praying ground for my kids. Boy, anybody that's a parent in here knows you better stay on praying ground for your kids, man. You know, my mom and dad were got saved in a Methodist church in Southern California back in the early 50s, just before I was born. My dad just a couple months before I was born. And we're raised in church. I was raised in church. That motorcycle maniac that you read about on that gospel track. Listen, I didn't come from a broken home. I didn't come from the bad side of town. I was raised in a good church. I was in church all the time. It just wasn't very doctrinal, wasn't very scriptural in a lot of ways. Probably most of them weren't saved. They're a bunch of good, nice people. Boy, when I turned 18, I broke for it, man. I joined the military. I wanted to get out there and have some fun. Here, my mom and dad, who didn't even have a King James Bible till 30 years later when I got saved, went to a church that didn't preach like we preach out of the Word of God. But I'll tell you what they did do. They stayed right enough with God to be able to get a prayer through for their renegade, rebellious, prodigal son. Amen. I'll tell you what, God will honor that thing. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, and sometimes we put more emphasis on effectual fervent, effectual fervent. Listen, praise the Lord for fervent prayer, but listen, the key to the verse is righteous. The key to getting through to God is trying, amen. We're not perfect, but the key to getting through on behalf of your church, on behalf of yourself, is trying to be as right as you can with God. And if you've got something in your life that you're struggling with, and you know grieves the Holy Spirit, welcome to the club. But get God in on helping you.
Amen.
It really works. That's what David said. Search me, O God. Listen, the source of revival, let's make no mistake about it, man, is God. But the strategy is prayer. If you're ever going to have a shot at revival, you're going to ask God for it. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. You got the source, And you got the strategy. I know you're going to be impressed with my outline. You know, number three, you got the shortage. There's a shortage. There's a shortage. Here's how it's addressed in the verse. Wilt thou not revive us again? Again. Amen. What does that mean? That means the last revival wasn't enough. Amen. Amen. Hey, whatever happened, last meeting, last conference, whatever happened, last time, amen, the Spirit of God dealt with you and spoke to your heart. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to tell you what, man, it is not enough. That book says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. Listen, beloved, in here tonight, there's a battle going on.
Amen.
A battle that wasn't going on before you got saved. Everybody now is bipolar. They call, and I'm thinking, isn't that what a saved person is? Bipolar, you got two natures that are war with each other. Amen. Amen. Well, the Bible addresses it. Amen. Amen. So we need revival again. Because we cool off.
Amen.
We get distracted.
Amen.
Bible says in 2 Timothy somewhere, chapter 2, I believe, verse 4, it says, no man at war entangleth himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him with chosen him to be a soldier. Man, we get entangled. I tell you what, revival meeting like this will do. It give you a chance to get unentangled.
Amen.
And I tell you what, you get unentangled a little bit, you might actually experience revival. Amen. And so, listen, I've learned this. I've been guilty of this. I hope to God I'm not guilty of it this week. But you can go to church and you can carry your Bible and you can even, hand out tracts. You can even tag doors. Now that's interesting. I'm never going to say that. Amen. They do that with spray can in New York City. Amen. And it ain't Jesus Saves the writing on there either, but that worked for me. But amen. I don't want to go back into jail ministry. That's where God found me. But listen, I know folks all over the country, and again, maybe you've been guilty of it. I have. You can, that book says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That means that the evidence, maybe the evidence, but backsliding doesn't start when your feet carry you out the door and we have to try to track you down. Backsliding starts right there in a pew, right there in the heart. You know how that prodigal son, when he asked his dad for his inheritance, it said, not many days. I mean, this kid one day woke up and said, Dad, I want everything that's mine. And then within a couple of days, he was gone, man. How could that happen so fast? I'll tell you how. Because his heart was already there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something tonight. We cool off and we get we can sit in church and it becomes mechanical. But our hearts, we need revival. We can get in church and just, well, I know I'm supposed to go, and I know I'm supposed to take my family, and you know, you really, just truth be known, you'd rather be somewhere else, and you hope this guy get done quicker, and you start rolling your eyes at me, I'll tell you what, I'll preach extra 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm not intentionally, it's not a threat, it just happens, I can't control it. Amen. It's like saying, stick them to a bulldog. Amen. Listen, we need God to move. Amen. Why? We get coming to church out of duty, just out of duty.
Yeah. Amen.
It's like a lot of people go to church.
Right.
I don't want to go to church for that reason. I want to go to church because God is real. And God meets with His people and God speaks through His Word. And boy, I'll tell you, listen, I learned this a long time ago, going through some rough stuff, nothing that a lot of people haven't been through. But there's a time, man, when there's some things going on in my life, early Christian life, and I tell you what, it was, things were coming apart at the seams, and then all of a sudden it occurred to me, and tonight's church night, great, that's all I need. I know I'm the only person that's ever been that carnal. Yeah, and I didn't want to go to church. Why? Because my mind, listen, there was big family problems going on. The last thing I wanted to do, not that I didn't like church, not that I didn't like preaching, here's what I didn't like. I didn't want to be around a bunch of people that were smiling.
Amen.
People that were happy. Oh, how's it going? It wasn't going good.
Amen.
Well, thank God I had enough of a foundation that I went anyway. But I had enough sense not to come in 5 minutes early. Or 2 minutes early when people were fellowshipping. I waited on the parking lot till I heard the song start to him. Yeah. Tell the congregational singing. Then I snuck in the back door. I usually sat in the second row. Man, I didn't want to be there, but I knew I should be there. And I slid in and I stood in the second row in the back, the very back. And there everybody's singing and I'm not singing. The only person who knows I'm there is the song leader. And he knew everything about me that night was out of character. I sat there and I sat down when the singing got over and I sat down. And like I say, man, and it wasn't because I had anything against anything that was going on there. It's just, you understand? I'm going to tell you what, before that message was over, boy, I got up from my back row pew and I went down to an old-fashioned altar and I asked God to forgive me.
Amen.
And I knew I was supposed to be there that
Amen.
Night. And God gave me something, that was exactly what I needed. And I realized right then, boy, if a day comes and you don't want to go, that's the day you need to go more
Amen.
Than ever.
Because
the devil, man, I tell you what, if he can separate us, if he can sort us out, man, he'll have us. Amen? Amen. We need revival again. Whatever your spiritual standing is, whatever you got last time, whatever your relationship's like, man, it needs to be shored up once in a while. Amen. We get bogged down by the cares of this life. You're supposed to get bogged down by the cares of this life. It's part of it. Who would ever long for heaven, man? You follow me?
Yeah. Amen.
Who would ever want to drink a cool water if they never got thirsty? Boy, I need a drink of cool water and I know where it's at. And I'm looking for the Lord to come. Amen. But until then, He's in charge. I got no problem with that. Boy, I need to get fired up, stirred up every once in a while. We're talking about revival this
Amen.
Week.
Amen.
Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? We got the source and we got the strategy, prayer, and we got what was the last one? The shortage. But then we got the subject. Five things from verse 6. The subject is, my people, thy people, he said. Let me give you a verse out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Familiar passage. I used to have it stenciled on the side of a Greyhound bus for 5 or 6 years till that caught on fire and burned up. You ever watch $100,000 burn down in less than 20 minutes? Maybe somebody has. I have. I said, Lord, that bus belongs to you. I was reminding God. You know, like Ananias said, just in case you forgot, and I said, you could put this fire out if you want. He didn't. I was in North Florida and sitting on the side of the freeway and flames rolling out. It was a Greyhound bus that we converted. Amen. It was really nice. Amen. And I sit there and I watched everything I owned just about in flames. And I looked at that thing and it was obvious that God wasn't going to put it out. Not a cloud in the sky, man. And I said, Lord, this really is your bus and it is your ministry. And whatever you take today, you take. You take. It's yours. But I said, whatever you leave me with, I'll go on and serve you with.
Amen.
That bus was a total loss and most of our stuff. But you know what the little Spirit of God did? He said, look right over there. And there was my wife, two of my daughters, even that little white dog I've been dragging around for 12 years. They're all there on the side of the road, safe and sound. And that bus got put on a tow truck and hauled away. And amen, God takes care of us. Amen? Amen. On the side of that bus it said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I understand the doctrinal application. I understand all that, but, I look at that verse and I see some New Testament stuff in there. Yeah, like the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. How about that? If my people which are called by my name, that's whose name are we called by? Amen? And it says, shall humble themselves. I seem to remember one of them guys addressing humility a couple times in the Pauline pit. You follow me tonight? We're talking about revival. The subject is you and I, beloved.
Amen.
Subject to God's people. Are you saved tonight? Are you one of God's people tonight? Amen? Humble yourselves. I'll tell you what, we all ought to be able to admit that's easier said than done. Easier said than done. Amen. You know, we got no problem with admitting we're sinners. We're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all got enough sense to not to try to convince anybody we never made any mistakes since we got saved. Amen. I hope you're honest with yourself like that. Amen. I hope you're not lying to yourself. Amen. But boy, when I see traveling around the country all the time, there's Christians embroiled in disputes amongst the church. Amen. Because they're never wrong. Yes, I made mistakes, but not this time. Listen, man, if two people are at odds, somebody's got to be wrong, don't they?
Amen.
There's got to be a problem. That book says, humble yourself. You know what that means? It just might, the occasion, again, a novel concept, the occasion just might arise where you're going to have to admit you're wrong.
Amen.
Yeah, I know that's contrary to modern thinking. But I'll tell you something, it's just possible that after you get through the emotional junk or get a few more facts, you just might have to humble yourself. But tell you what, if there's a way that that we hate, it's like having to go to somebody and say, I was wrong.
All right. Amen.
Yeah, we don't mind admitting to God we're wrong.
Right.
We both know. The Bible says, He remembers our frame. He knows we're dust. Our problem is we forget. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, sometimes you just might have to say, I'm sorry. There's people I know that if they ever went and said that to somebody, they need to ask that person to sit down first before they faint. Listen, you want some revival? You might want to examine yourself and see if there's something that needs to be gotten right. Amen. Yeah, to have revival, you might have to do that. And then it says pray. Humble themselves and pray. And, you know, we, plenty of talk about prayer. We've got to pray for revival. And the emphasis has been on prayer. Let me just cut to the chase right here like this right here. Maybe it'd be a good thing to get back in the habit of praying for God to harden your heart towards sin again. Maybe it'd be a good thing in this day and age for real believers to ask God to soften their heart towards souls again. Amen. We got it backwards. Amen. We get soft on sin. We compare ourselves to everybody else. Well, yeah, I tell you what, if you start comparing yourself with Laodicean Christianity, I forget the lost and dying world. If you just get used to comparing yourself to Laodicean Christianity, yeah, I tell you what, they make it easy for us to actually convince ourselves we're way more spiritual than we really are. God's not comparing you to anybody. That book says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. They're getting farther from God every day, but we're not supposed to be. Amen? We need to pray. And if we don't, there'll be no victory in our life. There'll be no joy. There'll be no peace. There'll be no conversions, and there'll be no revival.
That's right. Amen.
All right? If you're saved, you're saved. Praise the Lord for that. But, boy, I tell you what, if you're settling for just being saved, you're robbing yourself. Amen. And my Bible says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm sick of this victim mentality in America. I'm sick of a victim mentality amongst Christians.
Amen.
The only thing I'm a victim of is my own stupid decisions. Amen. But one day I made one so right, I got on the winning side. And if you're saved here tonight, you're on the winning side. And no matter what the past is like, you're responsible for what you become.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen and amen. All right. So it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And then it says, seek my face. I got looking at that one day, and I thought, that's a kind of a profound concept right there. That's kind of awesome thought. You know, the Bible tells us all throughout, seek His will, amen, seek God, seek His protection, seek His forgiveness, amen, all that. That's all scriptural and that's well and good, but there's not too many places where it even alludes to that right there, seek His face. Now, that's pretty personal. You know, I get accused of this all the time. I was a bike gang member and everything back in the old days before I became eloquent and soft-spoken like you see me now. It might be hard for you to comprehend, but 20 years ago, I was a little rough around the edges. Amen. So God smoothed all that out. But what my wife will say, she'll see me even witnessing. A bike will pull up at the gas station, and I'll be out there. And I mean, I won't do it. But I mean, on the street in the old days, man, we talked nose to nose, face to face. Amen. You look a man dead in the eye. I didn't talk to people with sunglasses on. I didn't talk to people that wouldn't look me in the eye. They were telling me something if they wouldn't look me in the eye. That's the way it was back then. Listen. Bible says, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Can you imagine? Why would God say seek my face? Maybe it'd be a little harder to justify our sin if we had looking God in the face. I mean, listen, I also have raised 5 kids, got some grandchildren, and what do we tell them kids? Man, you're correcting them, amen, or interrogating them, trying to figure out what happened. Like I say, Mr. Nobody, we lived in a Greyhound bus. There was 7 of us in there, and plus Mr. Nobody, he rode with us too. I don't know where his bunk was, but boy, when something happened and you start doing a little interrogation, nobody did it. Nobody did it. Listen, I don't believe in magic, okay? Somebody did it. So when you try to get them kids' attention, amen, you'd say, look me in the eye. My wife's good at that, boy. Look me in the eye right there. We know we get to do it with our grandkids. It's easy to scare little kids, amen. I don't know what happens when they become teenagers. They're just sure we won't whip them. I'm not so sure sometimes. You say, look me in the eye. Why do you do that? Why do you want your kids to look you in the eye? Because it's harder for them to lie.
That's right.
Boy, when you ask, who ate that? Oh, I don't know. Ho. And I got a daughter. I got a couple daughters. They can look you right in the eye and lie, boy, and I still know. I got one. The one that had this baby last week. Man, you look at her, and I look at her, and she start bawling, man. What a thing, man. It was, if she is guilty, I think she admitted to stuff that, you know, she didn't do just so I wouldn't interrogate her. Amen. I'm just wondering if it doesn't say seek my face because it'd be easier for us to get honest with God and stay honest with God. We're talking about revival. Wonder what you'd see if you sought His face. I wonder, you know, I know the Lord's going to bear the marks of Calvary throughout eternity. I believe the Bible teaches that. And we think of the holes and the... I wonder if you might see any scars on His brow. We're talking about looking at His face. I wonder if you might see some of the scars left by the crown of thorns that the soldiers beat into Him with a rod. These weren't rose bushes, beloved. I wonder if you got a chance to seek His face and look the Lord Jesus Christ in the eye. And maybe those things right there maybe would remind you just how much He loved you and I. Amen. Just what He went through.
Amen.
I wonder if it doesn't say that so that we might be reminded, if we could just get a hold of the concept of looking our Savior, amen, in the eye. I wonder if it might remind us of the debt we owe. This day and age, even believers that are eternally secure, they'll say, well, I'm saved by grace, grace through faith, praise the Lord. I have liberty. And then they take that word liberty to mean, I can do whatever I want. I can't lose my salvation. Don't put me under bondage. That's what they call Bible preaching. Putting you under bondage. Amen. I had a guy one time, just preach the Bible. I said, oh, really? What do you mean? What do you want to hear? Noah and the ark or Daniel and the lion's den? How about Jonah and the whale? That's what you want to... I mean, I'll tell you what, there's Christians these days, they got the spiritual depth of a vacation Bible school. That's what they want to hear. little David and Goliath. Amen. I'll tell you what, you ever get a hold of that, that's deeper than you can comprehend. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Lord doesn't require much of us at all. And boy, if we could seek His face, maybe we'd be reminded.
Amen.
We owe Him.
Amen.
We owe Him. He doesn't ask much.
Amen.
Let me tell you, I was talking about liberty. The liberty that we have as Christians can't possibly be the freedom or the liberty to do whatever we want. You know why? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, the liberty to do whatever... Listen, that's what you did before you got saved. You did whatever you wanted. How can the liberty that you have, the born-again child of God, go anywhere near there? The liberty that we have as New Testament believers is this right here. We have the freedom and the liberty, the ability to do something, according to John 1, the power to do something we could not do before we got saved. And that's live for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then it says turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Boy, we start thinking about the wicked ways of the society that we live in the world that we live in. Boy, we get saved even out of a big mess. And it doesn't take very long before we get real judgmental of everybody else.
Amen.
You know what it says? If it doesn't say I'll revive the land when, you know, Hollywood turns from their wicked ways. Or when MTV goes off the air, or the politicians all get saved, it doesn't say I'll revive the land when the sodomites quit having parades and abortion. It just doesn't say that, beloved. It says my people. Listen. God's ability to send revival doesn't have it. Yeah, the world's a mess. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. But see, this stuff that all of a sudden now we're real aware of because we just got saved, or maybe you've been saved a while, but it doesn't matter. The things that we're real aware of, God's been putting up with thousands of years. So they didn't have abortion back in Bible times. I don't know. They just threw them into the fire as children back then. Amen. We need to get off our little sanctimonious high horse. And understand that when He says, turn from our wicked ways, okay? You quit drinking, quit smoking, quit cussing, quit fornicating. Praise the Lord, I hope you did.
Amen.
Okay, but what about complacency? What about gossip? What about unforgiveness? There's so much bitterness and unforgiveness in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's so much competition in the Church of Jesus. Man, that's wicked, man.
Amen. Amen.
That thing, that Bible said, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. That's real popular. Bless God, I'm a soldier for Jesus Christ. I endure hardness. Well, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another.
Amen.
And we know that you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. Quit counting.
Amen.
He's trying to make a point there.
Amen.
Say, yes, I know I'm supposed to forgive. It's very Christian-y to forgive. But, boy, somebody said something. And usually they say something about somebody's kid, and it's true. But, boy, I'll tell you what, man. Listen, back in the old days, we could get drunk, fist fight, go out and fist fight. And after I helped the guy up, we could go back in and drink. Some of you will get that in a minute. But Christian, you get a Christian mad at you, you got an enemy for life. Lost people make up better than we do sometimes. Listen, sometimes we do say things we shouldn't say. Sometimes we do dumb things. Sometimes we don't go to one another the way we're supposed to, according to Matthew 18. Sometimes we do. Amen? But here's the importance of forgiving. Here's how God handles it. When you think you got just cause, here's how God handles it. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So what does that mean? Here's what that means. Nobody has ever done anything remotely as bad to you as what your sin did to Jesus Christ. Now that's how God puts things in perspective. Okay, yes. Okay, you got a case. But let's remember something. I forgave you. Now what is it you can't forgive again? That's doctrinal, isn't it? Amen. Tell you what, if we get turned from our wicked ways, amen, covetousness. You know what our battle is compared to so-and-so? And I'm going to say it again. You're not going to be. You're responsible yourself to God. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And boy, I tell you what, you don't just turn from your wicked ways. You make that turn 180 degrees. You know, I noticed this one time. You know, if I'm looking right there, if let's say that's my wicked ways right there, that pile of them over there, and it says, turn from your wicked ways. Okay? Is that what I just did? Let me tell you something. This is very important to survive 20 years riding a Harley Davidson across this country. You got to have great peripheral vision. Amen. It helps driving a motorhome, too. So that's my problem. There's my besetting sin. There's every weight. That's, there it is, right there. That way there. And I just turned from it. And guess what, man? It's, you know what that makes it easy to do? But I'll tell you what this. How about this? How about turn from your wicked way? 180. Make the turn, okay? Amen? Amen. And here's what God says. Then. Well, we play games. We play games. Well, it doesn't say how far to turn.
Amen. Duh. Amen. Amen.
Boy, we need revival. We need God to do something. Amen. Look at our country, man. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran. I love my country. My country is a mess. Say, what can we do about it? I got it here. Let's win some of our countrymen to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What else can we do? Let's get our family to that old rugged cross. Let's get our neighbors to Jesus Christ. Amen? He's coming back. I don't know how much time we got. But I know this. When Jesus said, occupy till I come, He wasn't talking about a desk chair in front of the internet. He wasn't talking about a lazy boy in front of a 60-inch screen. It blows my mind. I go to Best Buy or something, I'm thinking, man, are you kidding me? Then I was going to preach against it, and I went to a preacher's house. He had a 90-inch screen. 90? I looked at him, man, I didn't say nothing. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, didn't you have screens that big when you were a kid? I said, of course. We called them drive-ins. Amen. Now people got them in their living room. Hey, don't get me wrong. My flesh is like all that high-definition surround sound stuff, too. But listen, we're supposed to be busy about the Father's business. We get things backward. I got to go to church. I got to tear myself away. Go to church. No, you got something going on for entertainment. If the Lord's okay with it, I'm not preaching against it. But I know what our mission is. Amen?
Amen.
And if we'll reach for it, God will do some reviving, and we need some reviving. Okay? So, what do we got? Five things. Source, strategy, shortage. Are you impressed? Yeah, I came up with that myself. And subject, and last of all, the summary. That's what you're waiting for. That's when a preacher says, last of all. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean he's almost done. That's just what you're hoping it means. Yeah. I'm telling on myself and every other preacher. The summary. Okay. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may
rejoice
in thee. The summary, man, if God would send revival, if we get all whatever else is that needs to be gotten the way it ought to be, well, we get our joy back.
Yeah.
Amen. Boy, if there's something missing these days, listen, I understand we're in the last days. I understand we're in people get me and corner me church day. Oh, aren't you worried about this? And aren't you worried about that? I said, God saved me in a jail cell on my way to federal prison in a pair of blue jail uniform. Stupid little plastic slippers. That was the worst part. I'm a boot guy. Them stupid little plastic jail out. And that gave me a bad attitude. Amen. And I didn't have a penny to my name. The feds had taken almost everything I own. At least all the stuff that was in my real name. And Come on. I knew what I was doing. And now I'm not going to get what I deserve in eternity. And then I'm going to get to go to heaven. When I got saved, I didn't know you got to go to heaven. I didn't know that. I got saved because the preacher made it real clear. The Bible teaches you die in your sin, you end up in a lake of fire. And I thought, well, that's great. Thanks for cheering me up, preacher. Yeah, because I knew. I'll tell you what. That's why we like preaching to convicts. Because they know they're sinners. In church people, you got to convince them they're sinners before you can get them saved.
Amen.
You go into a jail and say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they just lower their head. You say that in a church and people swell up. And who does he think he's talking to? You!
Amen.
That's who we're talking to.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says this in Psalm 5 and verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. Let them ever shout.
Amen.
I'm a shouter. You couldn't handle it. Maybe some of you could. But it says the context is those that put their trust in thee. I'm not a charismatic. Amen. I'm just a Bible believer, man. It says, all those that put their trust in thee, let all those rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Listen, man, I'm so glad to be saved. Oh, here's what I was going to say. This is going to be a long week, isn't it? I got saved because I knew I was going to go to hell, and then I got in church after I made bond, and the preacher started talking about heaven and the splendors of heaven, and I asked somebody, I said, wow, what do you got to do to go there? And they said, Brother Dave, I thought you got saved. I said, yeah, I did. I got saved so I wouldn't go to hell. He said, oh, that's part of it. I went, you're kidding me. What in the world is the government going to do? What in the world is anybody going to do that's going to take my joy in light of the fact where Jesus Christ found me and where He sent me from? I refuse, God helping, to let the cares of this life rob me of the joy that I have as a Bible-believing Christian.
Amen.
It's personal to me.
Amen.
Amen. So, it says in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'll tell you what, we can get God to move, and some of us will get our strength, our joy shored up, and our strength renewed. Maybe some of us will just get it back. And I understand, man, I understand. That's why we have revival. I understand the cares of this life. They're almost overwhelming. Amen. And they can seem that way. That's why it's important to gather like this. That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to stay on your knees. Amen. But I tell you what, you don't have to sacrifice your joy to love Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there's a little conflict of interest there in light of what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22 about the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is part of it. Amen. And don't wait till you get to heaven to find out that the Lord would have been okay with you praising Him a little bit down here. Some of us are going to get to heaven, man. We're going to get to go right to the throne room where all the rejoicing and praising is going on because we got a little practice down here while we could. And some people, man, I'd preach to them year in and year out. Amen. They look like a tree full of owls. You're sitting there preaching to them. I said, I wonder if your favorite team hits a home run, if that's how you respond. Like that. And I think some people, maybe, this is not doctrinal, I just wonder if there's not going to be like a worship 101 for people to get to heaven. Say, because obviously some of you have no clue how to worship God. So you go to this class for a couple hundred years, and then you can join the rest of us. And listen, it'd be okay if God just to get in on enjoying your Christianity down here.
Amen.
Jack Wood, preacher from Houston, Texas, told me one time, I had just got out of jail, I still had a ponytail and a leather jacket, and he says, I still have a leather jacket, okay. And he said, Brother Spurgeon, don't try to endure Christianity. Just learn to enjoy it.
Amen.
I looked at this old man of God and I said, that sounds like a winner to me. Amen? Are you enjoying your Christianity? Amen? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Maybe 8 days of preaching is just what you need. Amen? Just to get your joy going again. Amen?
Amen?
I'll tell you what, I got this idea that joy, if we get our joy from the right place, I just wonder if it might catch on. Might be contagious out there. I'm not going to sing, but the song goes like this. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Boy, the psalmist wrote this. So simple, but so much in the verse. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'll tell you what. I hope you can make it, but I am asking you to please be praying that every day. I mean, I've been told, I don't doubt it, I already know that people have prayed because I can sense the liberty that I have to preach. I ask for it. I ask God for it. I come in, you don't know me, I don't know you. You trust your pastor trusts mutual friends. We're in here, we're all trusting God. Praise the Lord. I think that's how it's supposed to work. I think you can orchestrate God right out of the thing. And I'm glad we're not going to this week. But I'll tell you what, I know this. We need to keep praying. Anything's going to happen, for God to get the glory, He's going to have to do it. Amen? Revive us again. If the Lord spoke to your heart about anything tonight, boy, by all means, get honest with Him. Talk to God. I'm a fan of the old-fashioned altar. I know some people came today. I like that. I like doing it that way. I understand you can do business with God in your seat. I understand all that. I'm not trying to make up something that's not there. But I tell you what, some of the best times I ever had as a new Christian or as an older Christian is when I felt the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, I got up and I went and I prayed. And it's always worked for me, and I'm going to keep it up, and I don't care what anybody else does. A lot of people don't do that anymore. And they sit in churches, and instead of people coming in wanting something from God, and then they say, come in with, okay, they get their little notebook out, and okay, let's see what this guy's got. And they start comparing, well, I heard a better message on that than that before. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to get nothing from me. You ain't going to get nothing from me. There's people in this room been saved longer than me, been in their Bible longer than me, more spiritual than me, may do a better job of delivering the mail than me. But the reason that's okay is because I'm not the one we need to get something from anyway.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, you can go to church. If you really want something from God, the preacher can start talking about tithing and the Spirit of God deal with you about that. Because God wants to. So if you want something from the Lord, He'll meet with you. He'll meet with you. And if He does, respond. Now here's the part we don't like. Nobody, I haven't met anybody else that, anybody, not else, not like I do, that likes being put under conviction. But I think I'd rather respond to the Spirit of God through preaching than force God to bring it about some other way. And He's merciful, and He's kind, but chastening's in the Bible. Amen? So if the Lord spoke to your heart about anything, speak to His. Respond. Amen? If you want to come, piano player is going to come, song leader is going to come, however you want to do it, pastor is going to come. We're going to do all that. But if you need to come, or you need to bow your heart, that's what time it is. It's time to do business with God. I heard a preacher say this. And we understand the power of preaching. We understand what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's here. Foolishness of preaching. Power of God on us that are saved. And preaching is important. And we don't share. I'm not sharing. I don't share nothing. Amen. Okay, something. Not much. And we just try to preach. Amen. But I say all that to say this. There's churches, they get 20, 30 minutes of singing and then 5 minutes for preaching. No, that's out of order, man. That's out of order. Teaching doesn't replace preaching. Preaching is something that God ordained. But I'm going to tell you something. As important as preaching is, very important, correct? Nobody's life was ever changed by preaching. People's lives are changed by what they do with preaching. That's where the Spirit of God manifests. So nothing magical happened over the last hour with me standing up here throwing Bible verses at. Nothing matters. Nothing magical. If anything happens tonight, spiritually,
It's going to depend on what you do with something that was said or something the Spirit of God shined a light on. Might not have anything to do with what I said. Just be honest with God. This is so important. So important in these last days. We get a little revival. Let's all stand, bow our heads. Preach, you come.